Hey, how are you?
Good, man. It's Todd here in Vancouver.
Yes, I can tell. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Right on, right on. Well, thank you for taking some time here to join us, the Toddcast in Vancouver, Canada. And I guess a big thanks to our mutual friend Jay Sikowski for helping set this up.
Well, hell yeah, dude. Always a big thanks to Jay Sikowski.
He's a great shit. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm looking at your resume, dude, and like where to start. And initially, Jay reaches out to me when it was announced that Metallica was re-releasing the And Justice for All record, which you engineered. He goes, "Hey, you want to talk to one of the guys that helped make the record?" And I was like, "Hell yeah! Where do I start with you?" It's one of those like, "Holy crap!"
I don't know. Where do you want to start? Right? What do you want to know?
Well, what are the standout moments of recording that album? Arguably their best, certainly one of their most ambitious to date for Metallica.
Agreed.
What were the standout moments? Now looking back at that recording process, does the criticism that album receives does it have merit?
What do you mean?
Well, people say that the bass is mixed too low.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a producer. I listen to that record and go like, it's awesome. That's what I think.
Okay. So then it's awesome.
Right.
Some people would like a little bit more bass in it.
What do you think? Do you think that it needs more bass? I mean, interesting time for the band because this, of course, was, you know, when Jason Newsted was taking over. Some people said that it was a hazing thing, that they buried the bass tracks because of that. It just seems odd.
No,
like, as a fan, it just doesn't seem like, why would they do that? That doesn't make sense.
Well, that's a bunch of bullshit, first of all.
Right.
I'll just let you know that right off the bat. Hold on one second. I'm just running around my room over here.
Yeah,
I mean, that was Jason's first recording with the band.
Yeah.
Right? And so in the room at the time, there was, if you can hear the bass, it's 2 dB too loud. That was what Lars and James said when we were in the room recording it. Mm. So they took that all the way to, you know, to mixing with Steve and Mike. And so that being the case, you know, it's their band. They get to do whatever they want. And so I'm sure that, you know, when Steve and Mike put a fucking, you know, awesome mix on the record and they came in to hear it, they went, "Oh, I can hear the bass. Turn it down to a dB."
Hmm.
Right? I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Because that was, you know, at the time, that was what they were thinking. Right or wrong, that's what they were thinking, right? If it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong.
This re-release, is it going to change at all? Like, does the sound of the re-released And Justice for All, does it change, like, for just a regular... Because, of course, Toby, I mean, you have an ear unlike most people. People that work as an engineer, a mixer, producer, all those guys, I mean, they have ears that are so much better than the casual listener. Will it change... Right. Just for regular Joe that's listening to the new re-release?
I haven't heard it, so I don't know.
Mm.
I have it, but I haven't opened the box set yet.
Mm.
So I'm kind of like almost not afraid to, but I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
I did a couple of podcasts and, you know, and people were asking the same questions. And then they said, "Would you like to, would you like to remix the record?" I was like, "Fuck yeah, I would. Put some more bass in that bitch."
Mm-hmm.
See what, you know, what the world was missing. And I got phone calls from management literally the next day because it hit Livewire and Blabbermouth and all that stuff.
Of course.
Maybe it was 2 days later I got, you know, Q Prime calling me up going, "Well, here's the deal on remixing the record. The band does not want to. They want to leave, you know, whatever was as is. That right. is history.
Wow.
Let's just leave it that way." And I said, "Cool. That's no problem. I was just wondering if maybe they wanted to."
Mm-hmm.
And I was available if they wanted to. So I, you know, and I just threw that out there in a podcast. They're like, "No problem. You know, just just let you know that the band's wishes are to not touch it. So I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. You know, next time I answer questions about this record, I will let people know that.
Right. I did the Canadian album premiere for Saint Anger, flew down to San Francisco, saw them a couple times at the Fillmore. That certainly is not their best record. Which album do you think is Metallica's best?
I'm going to have to go with Injustice for All, of course.
Good answer. Right.
I really love Justice. I mean,
so good.
I think it's the best record because, you know, that's the one I was involved in. And it was also one of the, you know, cutting edge type of pioneering of metal type records.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I do remember when that record came out that it blew everybody's mind how amazing it was, the musicianship. I mean, it was just on its own. Just that good.
Right. And it was, you know, mostly due to the mix and the kick drum and, you know, that kind of a brand new sound, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that was, you know, what set it apart. You know, Lars and I invented that kick drum sound. And, you know, we just took it from there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And of course, I mean, you've had your hand in so many amazing bands beyond Metallica and you know, records over the years. I mean, your resume truly, dude, it reads like that of rock gods, man. Metallica, Motley Crue, Alice in Chains, Slayer, Korn, Primus. I mean, it's kind of like picking a favorite kid, but do you have any favorites from the stuff that you've worked on? Anything you can go today like, wow, man, that stuff still today holds its own.
God, Lord, dude.
I know, right? Too many, man.
Well, how about this? The record I'm most proud of is Alice in Chains Unplugged.
Yeah, great record.
And the reason being is because, you know, I'm responsible for most everything. Well, I know everything you hear and most of what you see. And, you know, in the Unplugged show/DVD at this point. And that was because, you know, I recorded the show. And then when it got done, MTV took it away and, you know, they edited it and so on and so forth. And then I, you know, tried to mix it. Well, and you know, while I was mixing it, Lane decided that he didn't like any of it.
Oh, wow.
And that it portrayed him in a more negative light than anyone would have liked, or he would have liked to have seen himself. And so he asked me if I would, you know, can you do all that video editing? I was like, no, dude, I don't do that kind of stuff. And he said, well, I would really, really like you to try, or else we're not going to do this.
Wow.
And so what I did was I had, you know, four, because it was a four-camera shoot, so I had four TV screens, monitors in front of the console, and each one was a separate camera, and I went back and forth and just wrote down a bunch of SMPTE numbers and all that kind of nonsense and, you know, about where they should cut it. And then I sent that all to them, and they went, yeah, okay. You know, and they cut it all together, and Lane approved it, and there it went. That was the video side. The audio side was that, you know, when I took it to mastering, I walked in after the guy had, you know, been messing with it for a while, and he said, oh, man. I go, how are you doing this morning? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I can't make it any better. I'm like, what do you mean you can't make it any better? That's your job. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, man, like, I'm the mastering guy you've used for the last 10 years, right? I'm like, yeah. He goes, have I made your record sound great? He goes, yeah. He goes, I can't make this one any better. He goes, look at the two-track machine. And I went over and I looked at it, and it was wired directly into the 1630, which is, at that time, was what made Glassmaster CDs. And then that's what they sent off to be mass duplicated. There was nothing in between it. No compression, no EQ, no nothing. So I said, are you doing that for all the songs? He's like, the whole record is perfect.
Wow.
I was like, you're kidding me, right? I hit that whole show perfectly. He's like, yes, direct on the bullseye, every single song.
I was like, how about like the clapping and the audio? He goes, everything about it is perfect. I cannot make any of it better.
Wow, dude.
I was like, okay, thank you very much. Bye.
That's amazing, man.
And so that's my proudest, you know, that record I'll always be the most proud of because of that fact.
Hundreds, dude. I've heard that record hundreds of times, man.
Excellent. I love it.
As someone clearly in the thick of it with Alice in Chains, do you remember where you were when it was announced that Lane had passed away?
I certainly do. I was actually on my way to Seattle to record Lane. And I was on my way to, I was going to Burbank Airport, and my wife and I got the call from Susan, their manager, and at the time manager, and, you know, I had to pull over, and I cried very hard, because Lane was actually one of my best friends, and I was one of his, and we were very close, and he was going to sing on a song for a band called Taproot.
Oh.
And they had written a song for him and about him. And he really, really loved it and wanted to sing on it. And I was to go up there by myself and capture him singing and bring it back.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I went up, you know, she said, just keep on coming up here. Mm. You know, so obviously we did. And I went to the memorial service and, you know, that was when we, I guess, was it Time Magazine or something, caught me, Chris Cornell, and Jerry sitting on a wall talking. And it, like, I think it made the cover or some inside, something. I have a picture of it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was just, you know, I was on my way there to see the man.
Right. Yeah, it's a hard one to swallow. Of course, Cornell, too. What a year for deaths. Not just rock, I mean, I guess just in general. Yeah, it's something else.
Yeah.
any stories of the crew? I mean, here's a band for me, Toby, that, I mean, they were truly the first ones to really grab a hold of me. Do you think that the Dirt movie will be as good as the book?
Oh, I don't know.
how could they pull that off, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, how could they pull that off? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Everything,
especially,
of course,
if they don't have the real players playing themselves.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, who's going to play this guy and who's going to play that guy? You know, it's not going to be like it was.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something to actually have a camera when it went down in the 80s? Oh, my God.
Oh,
what
my
a different
God.
Time for music. Like, could a band like that, like the early 80s Motley Crue, could they even exist in today's world of social media and Me Too movements and everything else? Like, insane.
You know, I'm really, really surprised that the Me Too movement has not hit the music industry.
Well, it has, but not to the degree that you would expect. I mean, yeah.
Like who?
Well, Headley, for one. I don't know if you know a Canadian band, Headley. If not, Google.
No, I don't. What happened?
Google search that. Oh, well, man, he just, the lead singer's been, his name's Jacob Hogard, and there was kind of a hashtag movement maybe 6-8 months back that literally capsized the band. Management crushed them off their management roster, their label dismissed them, all their bands that were opening up for them on tour, they dropped off the bills. Radio stations have completely stopped playing all their, and dude, this is a fucking big band, man, like a big Canadian pop band, almost as big as you possibly could get. And
how do you spell it?
They're done. Hedley, Headley.
Okay.
And it's Jacob, the singer, and he's I don't know if he's already been to court or if it's going to court. Underage stuff. It's messy, man. Really messy stuff.
And, oh, underage stuff. Well,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Forget it, dude. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you get into that kind of stuff, that's, you know, underage animals, all that nonsense. Yeah. You deserve whatever you get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
See how
it's, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, like if somebody had come to you know, like go to Vince Neil and go, hey, you know, you messed with me back in the fucking 80s and we were all on cocaine and, you know, you stuck your finger in my butt and, you know, or whatever, you know, and I'm going to sue you now 20, 30, 40 years later. It's like, go away.
Well, I mean, Toby, you might not be far off. That might be the next, you know, layer of that movement. Certainly it can't be just movies. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right, I know.
Who knows? Let's go back in your early years and the music that you were influenced, you know, early on as a little kid. Like, what were your parents playing? Which bands made the cut in the right household?
Oh, like Hendrix, Joplin, Creedence, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Back in the late 60s, I mean, you know, one of my first memories of a concert was Hendrix and Joplin.
That's amazing. Was that your first concert?
Yes, it was.
Oh my God, Hendrix was your first. Joplin! Wow!
So, yeah, it was crazy, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. You obviously catch a lot of lots of concerts present day. You go to a lot of shows still?
Are you too busy? Not really. Yeah, I'm busy, and plus, you know, like, you know, none of the new bands really interest me, you know?
No kidding. Wow. Was it just too homogenized? Too, everybody just sounds the same. Everybody wants to get the same radio play. And what is it about the new
music?
Yeah,
I mean, there's nobody that really, like, you know, there's nobody that's turning any heads or, you know, like perking any ears up or any of that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. I wonder why that is.
No musicianship, dude.
Yeah, know? It has a lot to do with
it. It's like,
that. Sure.
Yeah, Pro Tools took over, and it's just a Pro Tools society. Yeah, I mean, I'm really disappointed with the youth of today and their work ethic. A and B, you know, they don't practice an instrument; they'll just play a thing, you know, a bar or two, and copy it. Like, that's not how you. That's not how I was raised.
That's not how they made Fleetwood Mac Rumors. That's not how it went down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not how they made And Justice for All either.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, those boys can play those instruments like nobody's business. There's not a metal band out there that can do that right now that I know of.
Hmm.
You know? Do you?
I don't know, man. That's the thing. I don't have the, you know, like you got the veil. You know what's happening. You know when guys are playing. Like, I know a lot of producers, not a lot, but I know enough producers that do that note for note bullshit. Like, fucking get them to play, man. Who cares that they can play a note well and then you just keep on transcribing it through the song? Like, get them to play. Play live. Let's see how they play.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Because without that, like, even if it's a good album recorded, like, you know, for you, if you do a great album as a mixer, producer, engineer, whatever your job is for that record, that's great. But if they can't pull it off live when you go see them at the Fillmore or the Commodore Ballroom or whatever, like, what's the point?
Exactly. There is no point.
Right. Like, what's the point? If you can't play it, who cares?
Right. Get off the stage and don't come back.
Yes, exactly.
Until you can play it. You know, and it's such bullshit with all the, you know, oh, well, we play the tracks and this and that, because it just makes it sound fuller.
Right.
Well, why can't you pull off what, you know, you put on a record?
Yeah, if you're playing a backing track, why don't you just play that as well then?
Exactly.
Right, right.
So I'm thoroughly disappointed with the, you know, with new music today.
Hmm. Interesting.
And, you know, the lack of musicianship is basically it, right. You know?
Well, that makes two of us, Toby, I guess.
Well, I think there's a lot more in that, in our group than we know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, I think that, you know, I think that when you start...
Kowski is thoroughly, you know, disappointed as well.
Yeah. I mean, when you start to go back to the old records and the old bands that you liked and the older sound and the 80s stuff and... You know, there's a reason for that, because it was all really good music. And
right, exactly.
What's going to replace all these big bands? Like, who's the next Rolling Stones? Who's the next Led Zeppelin? Who's the next Joplin, Hendrix? Like, you know, no offense to Foo Fighters, but is Foo Fighters the next Rolling Stones? Probably not.
No, yeah, probably not.
Like, no offense to Nickelback. Love the guys. Great guys. Are they the next Zeppelin?
Probably not.
Like, what's happened? Those are the big bands. Foo Fighters, Metallica. Yeah, Metallica, of course, is awesome. But those aren't new bands, though.
Right. They're not new at all.
Yeah. I mean, those are like those are the powerhouses. That, yeah, 25, 30-year-old bands. Yeah, interesting.
So, yeah, name me a band that came out in 2016, brand fucking new.
Right.
You know, or 2017 or 20 or this year.
That blew
fucking amazing musicians. Right.
That blew your mind? Probably can't do it. I mean, you'd be hard pressed. You'd be like fucking Google search. You know, you'd be like looking through the collection. What was good? It's not clicking in your brain, you know?
I put musicians who play their own instruments into Google, and I come up with a blank page. Like, what?
Right, exactly. All right, let's get outside of music, outside of the industry, and, of course, what you're known for, a few questions to kind of get to know you a little bit better. What are you binge-watching right now? What are the shows you can't get enough of, or do you have time for that?
I'm just busy running all over the place, you know, working on you know, different things. You know, from a healing technology using sound to, you know, working with some underprivileged children. You know, I just, you know, kind of, I'm a helper / healer. So my, you know, my helping thing was to produce records, right, back in the day. And so, you know, I haven't actually produced a record in a while, unfortunately. You know, because it goes back to the conversation we just had.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's kind of sad, but, you know, at the same time, it's time for me to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, develop this technology, you know, that I've been developing over the last several years.
Interesting. Is there a website like for people to check that out? That sounds very cool, man. Where can we get more info?
Not yet. I'm keeping it pretty private right now.
Okay.
Because I'm still trying to develop it. And you know, once it comes out, it'll be, you know, I just need to release it as a mass product.
Right.
Instead of, you know, just like a website type thing. It's you know, something that'll help you sleep. And it's also something that can, you know, pinpoint disease within the body.
Wow.
Using complex frequencies.
Interesting.
You know.
Dude, I need white noise in order to sleep. I can't, if a fan isn't on or, you know, something along those lines, I can't sleep. I just never can. Never have been able to ever in my life.
Oh, wow. Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, the good thing for fans.
Well, then you're a perfect candidate to be on my guinea pig list to try out this technology. And, you know, what you do is it's you know, just kind of, it's interesting how it happened. It all came to me literally in a dream after a car accident, and I was trying to, you know, heal myself, basically. And then, you know, this whole thing just came to me in a dream. And I, you know, trying to, and I replicated what I heard in the dream, you know, for real life.
Wow.
And, you know, so far, everybody that hears it's like, dude, I sleep so good when I listen to this. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds so, like I need some of that for sure. When do you think this, realistically, have you got to, you know, an ideal release time for that?
Well, we can talk off the record
yep.
about that.
Yep.
But I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
You know, I can fill you in off the record
yeah.
more about that. But you know, right now it's just, you know, I'm exploring different avenues and trying to get, you know, different health and wellness companies to help me out, and or, you know, investors or
and stuff,
you know
yeah.
somebody to help me out. I need some testing, and I need stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let me hit you with an oddball. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
I think they're still here, and they live here.
There you go. I also think the same thing. I think they live among us. They don't look any different than the rest of us.
There's some strange-looking people on this planet.
Like, yes.
You know, so definitely. are those them?
Right. Like, you never know.
I don't know.
You never know.
Right.
Yeah. If you could have a superpower, so, which power would you want to have?
Oh, boy. If I had a superpower, which power would I have? I think I would have the power to change all humans into responsible, loving, healing beings, and not be greedy and not be destructive of our planet. That's the superpower I'd like to have. I know it's a little boring.
No. That's a timely superpower. They just brought in a new president of Brazil that wants to devastate the forest growth, remove all of the sanctions of can't cut that down, can't cut that down, pasteurize, make it for cows and whatnot. And man, that's huge. That was a huge ecological development recently.
Right. I know. And
like scary shit, man. Scarier than Trump, I think.
Very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if Trump could cut down the rainforest and fucking put up a building or three, he would.
Of course he would.
You know?
Yeah, of course he would.
Because he's a greedy motherfucker. But beside that, you know, like, yeah, that guy is very scary too, because, you know, you don't have that ecological balance and shit's going to go awry, period.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is, because, you know, we need that ecological balance.
Yeah, it's scary. You know, what are we paving for the future for our kids and their kids and everything else? Like, how much longer can we, you know, keep doing to Mother Earth like we are? It's insane. It's insane.
I think Mother Earth has a little, you know, pushback mechanism. You know, like a few times when they were going to set off some, you know, some nuclear warheads. Why did all of a sudden the missile fall off the launching pad?
Right.
You know? Right. Are those our friends, the aliens, saving the human race? You know, is that something that, you know, is this guy in Brazil going to make it to his next birthday? I mean, who knows?
Right. Right.
Right?
Yeah, interesting times we live in, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it really is, and it's, you know, I'm scared for, you know, humans in general right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because they're just, it's just so weird, you know, especially with, I don't know, all the social media stuff and how, you know, the kids who are 18 and under right now act. You know, it's like, well, I was born in 2004 and I'm 14 years old and all I know is computers. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, what's a record player?
Right. Show them an 8-track, like, what's up?
right. What's a cassette? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, what is tape? Mm-hmm. That's stuff I glue together with, right?
Yeah. Are you
audio tape?
Are you online much? Do you have the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram accounts and all that?
I only have Facebook, and I am rarely on it. And I don't, you know, I don't have an Instagram. I don't have a Twitter. I don't have any of that stuff. Cause I really, really don't believe in it.
Good for you, man. I tell you, if I could get rid of it, I mean,
I think it's destroyed, you know, I think it has destroyed humanity as we knew it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sure, you have to, you know, progress and all that kind of stuff, but why are parents so messed up that they set their kid in front of their damn Facebook and or Instagram and or this or that or whatever and just, you know, have at it, little Johnny. Go ahead. Do whatever you want.
Right.
Look, Mommy, look on Instagram. Look at this lady. She's naked. I mean, what is that? Why didn't somebody teach that little girl not to take off her clothes and take pictures and put it out to the world? Like, what is wrong here?
Well, I mean, how are you supposed to get followers otherwise, Toby? Come on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Because, you know, you can buy them.
Quite the, you can buy your followers. Yes, exactly. Like, who gives a shit about how many followers you have? It's really a fucked up scenario.
I have a band called Bells Into Machines. You know, it's myself, Paul Barker from Ministry, a guy by the name of Brian Demar on keys, and a couple of different vocalists. One of them is Chris Connolly from Ministry as well. And we're just putting out a record just now. And we're talking about, like, you know, what's the most happening, fastest, easiest way to get followers and views and all that kind of stuff. I run across this thing on the interweb there that says, hey, for $50, you can buy, you know, 1,000 views and 1,000 likes, 5,000 of this. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow. Not real people. Let's buy not real people.
So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I'm going to come out with 1,000,000 views because at the top of your YouTube, and how do you get to the top of your YouTube? Well, easily by the number of views that, you know, is popular for that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did Psy, that, you know, the Gangnam Style dude, did he really have 1,000,000,000 actual views? No, right. He didn't.
No.
Universal Music bought them. If you can buy stuff like that, like, you know, why is everything fake now? So
yeah, good
you gotta
question.
Remember everything online is fake. Everything.
Yeah, if there's an aspect of the industry for me that I don't like, that I wish I could get away from, and truly the only reason that I have a Facebook, an Instagram, a Twitter and all that is because I need an avenue to, you know, release to my friends and my followers and whatnot. But otherwise,
right,
dude, once I'm done, I'm fucking gone. Like, you know, Sikowski will be able to get a hold of me because he's got my phone number, but you're not going to be able to go to my Twitter page and go like, oh, cool, Toby Wright's on. That's great. What a cool, you know, guest to have. That's not going to happen anymore. Once I'm done, I'm done in the industry, I'm done. Social media is done. Hey. Like it's that, I don't want to say a parasite, but it's, you know, for lack of better words, it's a fucking parasite.
Agreed. And I think it's destroyed, you know, a lot of the core values of, you know, our youth of today. You know, why do I have to go get a job?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I just sit here and play on my computer and make money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they do, and that's fine. You know, as long as you're being productive, I guess, in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, it's like, I don't know, dude, I find it ridiculous.
yeah, so do I.
I feel like I'm sounding like a jaded old man right now.
I know, right? Like, fuck, yeah. Get off my lawn, you jealous. Damn kids! Get off my lawn! Oh, man. Right. Toby.
Exactly.
Thank you again for, should probably wrap this up, thank you again for jumping on the Toddcast here in Vancouver, Canada. So Facebook is your platform of choice. You're not on very often, but if people need to you know, check out your stuff, that would be the place to go to, I guess.
Yeah, and they can check out TobyWrightMusic.com.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I do have my own website, and it's not extremely active right now. I'm trying to revamp it a little bit, but you know, it's still up and running, so, you know, we can always check me out there.
Okay. Well, right on, dude. I guess other than that, we'll see you online.